it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, Joe, I actually had a fairly similar situation on my flight this weekend, too. I got to have a window seat. Like you say, you have to have an aisle seat. I have to have a window seat. Didn't have the John Stockton shorts to contend with, but it does feel like people in the middle seat wanting to stretch out a little bit. Had that happen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, figure some way to not sit in the middle seat if you can't handle the middle seat, right?
Right.
Did you wear shorts?
No.
Yeah. I mean, no, I got to.
Have that happen. That's rough.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe I should have just worn pants and then shed them when I got to New Orleans, I guess.
Maybe you should just learn to sit in the middle and stretch out. Be the stretcher, be the stretchy out there. Be good.
I mean,
You know, it's kind of understood that you give up the armrest, maybe, but yeah, don't stretch the legs out. There's a line there. There's a point.
Exactly.
Gentry, we've talked a lot about Ryan Tannehill the last 2 days, his struggles in New Orleans, whether it was the three picks or missing wide open receivers. How do you explain what we saw on Sunday, and how concerning is it to you as Tannehill moves forward here?
I think that's kind of the thing. It's hard to explain it. I don't think Mike Vrabel really had an explanation for it. And, you know, with Tannehill over 4 years, you've come to expect a certain level of performance from the guy. And you know, to have it fall short the way it did is just kind of what the heck. You know, it was surprising to see. And so you look at, okay, well, why was that happening? And the concern to me isn't necessarily with Tannehill as much as the fact that he looked like a quarterback that did not trust some things that were going on around him. He didn't trust his protection. He didn't seem to trust some of what was going on down the field in terms of receivers other than DeAndre Hopkins, maybe Nick Westbrook-Ikhine a couple times. But, you know, this is an offense that's going to have to get Treylon Burks more involved, Chigakonkwo more involved, and they just didn't appear to – be able to scheme guys open when it mattered most on third down in the red zone, things like that. So it's concerning that they just didn't look in sync. But, you know, I agree with a lot of what you guys have said. It's week one. You know, go look at Joe Burrow's stats in his first game, you know, Josh Allen last night. It does happen in week one where things aren't where they should be. But again, it was very unexpected. It was statistically his worst game as a Titan.
Yeah, you mentioned Burks. I do wonder, Gentry, if he was maybe still a little bit banged up. Because that's one of the things, along with, like, Tannehill has looked good, but that's one of the things that also was a big part of camp was Burks being targeted routinely by Tannehill along with Hopkins and looking really good and making plays. And I got to think that's going to change. Did you think he looked limited at all? And we talked about some up in that press box. Did you also think with Tannehill that there was some velocity issues at times?
During the game it showed up, which again was a little surprising only because we watched all of training camp and I never got that sense, you know, watching Tannehill throw the ball around. But what we did see in training camp was him having to escape the pocket a lot because the O-line struggled in protection. And you're wondering at the time, is that the O-line or is that the Titans' defensive front? And I think we saw in the game it was both. The O-line is struggling in pass protection, but the Titans, you know, first defense was able to get a whole lot of pressure on Derek Carr also. So, you know, to see it play out the way it did, Tannehill looked very tentative. He looked very reluctant. Yeah, these are things that he was not doing for a lot of his time with the Titans. And I don't know if that started last season when protection broke down too much, he got injured. You know, that to me is the bigger concern here, just from the standpoint of that's hard to fix if you've got a guy who just has happy feet back there. And there were times he tried to escape the pocket a little too quick and didn't trust it, especially, you know, later in the game. The protection wasn't good, okay? I mean, the Saints did a good job getting back there, but there were times he didn't give plays a chance that could have been there. And when you go back and watch Derek Carr, he did. He was able to kind of escape the pocket and make things happen, and Tannehill wasn't. When Tannehill escaped the pocket, it looked like he didn't have any idea what he was going to do with it.
Gentry, that's just from the Tennessean with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Gentry, what did you make of the way that Derrick Henry was used in the first game? 48% of the offensive snaps. Tajay Spears playing more snaps than Henry in this game. What do you look for in terms of what that looks for the Titans moving forward here in the offense?
Yeah, maybe a little surprised he didn't get a few more carries down the stretch, but I wouldn't look so much at the snap count as it pertains to Spears, because they're using Spears in a lot of different ways. This offense doesn't have a lot of tight end, and so what I think that's going to mean is I think Spears is on the field with Henry a lot more than, you know, probably they've done before. But so it isn't so much the snap count. And look, I'll say this: maybe they should have given Henry more carries down the stretch because it was working early in the game. But I don't think we're going to see him get 30, 35 carries in games this year. I think those days are over. And when you look back at last season, the formula of just giving Derek the ball over and over and over and wearing defenses down, it stopped working. Derek wasn't good in the fourth quarter last year. And it used to be his best numbers would be late in games when he would wear down a defense. That stopped happening last year. So I wasn't shocked to see a bit more of a role for the other running back. And I think, you know, Joe hit on it earlier. I think Tajay Spears is a good player, and he's going to have a role in this offense. He's going to be involved in ways that other backup running backs haven't been. And I think he should be. So I wasn't stunned by that, but at the same time, you know, when the passing game is struggling as much as it was, maybe it would have made sense to give him more than 15 carries in this game. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you go back, and they had a carry here, a carry there, and they didn't go anywhere in the second half too. And that's another thing. So it's like, how much do you stick with that? I mean, ultimately you gotta possess the ball, you know, and give yourself a chance with you. I mean, last year it was a total flip of that script, and I don't know if that's Derek or just a lot of things that were wrong with the offense, but. I'm with you. I also thought, though, Gentry, that Vrabel did kind of sound, I thought, yesterday, like a little bit like assuring, like it'll be more. But to your point, not 30-plus more, but maybe like, yeah, you know, Derek's going to be, you know, a big part. I don't know if he was saying for sure a bigger part, but it sounded like that to me a little bit, like, you know, Derek's going to be key. And maybe that Vrabel thought that he could have been used a little bit more. But I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
Here's the thing, too. I mean, late in the game, they still moved the ball. They drove and got field goals, two field goals in the fourth quarter. Their issue was being able to convert those into touchdowns. But they did have some success offensively late in the game. So, you know, I think a lot of what they've done in the past is just identity in terms of, we're just going to keep giving Derrick Henry the ball and let the defense tackle him and, you know, get worn down and see how much they like doing that for four quarters. I'm not sure that's going to be the way they go this year.
Gentry, your concern level with Hooker dealing with a concussion at the end of the game, and then Christian Fulton again with a hamstring popping up, a secondary that gave up over 300 yards passing and now is pretty thin with Trey Avery out at this point as well. We'll see what that looks like this week.
Yeah, I mean, that was always the concern, right? I mean, I think over the course of training camp, the secondary looked pretty good. But you kind of knew all along there's not a lot of depth there. And, you know, one game and you're already seeing that show up. If you're without those two guys and you have to have Elijah Molden as a safety, you know, now what happens at corner if you don't have Trey Avery? And, you know, it just seemed like every year on that part of the team, it's before too long, You're talking about guys without a lot of experience. They just grab and put on the practice squad, and all of a sudden they're out there having to cover legit NFL receivers, and you certainly don't want to have to see that again. That said, the pass rush is good. The pass rush is going to have to be good.
Yeah, pass rush is good, but yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, the thing with Fulton, obviously he's had that a lot. I thought going into the season, you know, Hooker, I think he's becoming a great player, and he was great in this game. But also, really, his injuries are more serious, of a more serious nature, and probably just as frequent as anybody in the last couple of years. If this, you know, let's say he's not available this week, is Elijah Molden better as a safety or better as a slot corner with McCreary moving outside?
You know, it's a good question. They obviously liked the move to have him at safety because it held up for most of the preseason. So I tend to think that's how it would go. But, you know, it's good to have a versatile player back there. But with Molden, you're talking about a guy who's dealt with a lot of injuries in his career. I like McCreary on the outside, probably, me personally. I think McCreary's a good player. I think he can handle that. I really don't think you lose a whole heck of a lot with him out on the edge instead of Fulton. But it's just a matter of, yeah, then what do you do in the slot? You know, what are you doing at safety? If you start having multiple injuries back there and having to mix and match on the fly, that's where it's going to be an issue, and it's been an issue before.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Gentry, really appreciate you taking time to be with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Gentry Estes from the Tennessee. And we'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. React to what Gentry had to say there. That's coming up next. Check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's the legendary Elliston Place Soda Shop. Elliston Place Soda Shop is one part soda shop, one part meat and three, and one part old school diner that has been serving Nashville since 1939. You can half off a $20 gift card to Elliston Place Soda Shop now at thegamenashville.com while they last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Live from our 1025 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away to see the final Nashville show, a tribute to Ronnie Millsap at Bridgestone Arena, coming up on Tuesday, October 3rd. Performances by Kelly Clarkson, Little Big Town, Tracy Lawrence, and much more. It'll be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the final Nashville show, a tribute to Ronnie Millsap, coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, October 3rd. A little Smoky Mountain rain bringing us in here. It's good stuff.
Jam. Someone on the text line real quick says, can you talk about the Jets' likelihood they look for a veteran backup, the possibility of someone like Tannehill's name popping up? Well, Tannehill's, I mean, if Tannehill were to go to the New York Jets, he would start for the New York Jets.
Yes.
Okay? He's not Zach Wilson's backup. Also, I think the Tannehill to the Jets idea actually made some sense in the offseason as we wondered what the Jets were going to do, wondered what the Titans were going to do.
Was the Packers-Rodgers trade ever going to actually happen?
Yeah. I mean, or even before that materialized, yeah. You know? It's like, yeah, the Jets, good team, upgrade a quarterback, get a good veteran in there, and you have a chance to be better. So, someone earlier asked about Malik Willis being traded to the Jets. I mean, I guess, you know, as a backup, you could look at that. But as far as the Titans trading Tannehill, they're not. They'll trade Tannehill at the trading deadline if they're 1-6.
Which,
I mean, it could be.
It could be.
Yeah, but like right now, everything they did, including adding DeAndre Hopkins. Once it was clear that Tannehill and Henry were coming back for one last run, they have done everything to try to win this year.
Yep.
They're 0-1. They're not trading away their starting quarterback and punting on the season.
No. I mean, we're not. And look, I fully realize the starting quarterback played terrible on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I get that. Let's see how this continues to unfold here as the season goes on. And like you said, I mean, the trade deadline is, I believe, October 31st, so Halloween this year. The Titans will have played 7 games by then. So you get through your first 6 weeks, end up in London with Baltimore. You have the bye week the week after that coming back from Europe. And then that last game before the deadline will be against Atlanta, I believe. So 7 games at that point. It's difficult for me to believe the Titans would be that far out of it by then that they would just be comfortable trading the quarterback. I don't know that I see it happening.
Yeah, I don't either. It would have to be absolute similar performances from him. All of a sudden, he can't complete simple passes.
Yeah.
And they're terrible.
Well, and then at that point, if he can't complete simple passes, why in the world would the Jets want him, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's the other thing.
Yeah, that's right. Right. If he's so bad that they decide, okay, then what's his value to somebody out there?
It is. I mean, Robert Saleh last night, you know, after Rodgers goes down, says that they're sticking with Zach Wilson and he's going to be their guy moving forward. I don't know what else they would do at this point, although – the Tom Brady meme started floating out there last night. It was beautiful to watch. Yeah. I think somebody tweeted Tom Brady has the chance now to do the most hilarious thing of all time. Just gets honored on Sunday, goes through this love fest back in New England, and then the next week signs with the Jets. It could be great. It's not going to happen, but it could be great.
I'm in. I'm here for it.
Are you?
Oh, that'd be hilarious. Go and win a Super Bowl and be like, say Aaron, this is
Aaron, this sounds done, man. Let me show you how to do this. Would be pretty funny that way. I don't think you're going to have to worry about the Tannehill trade to the Jets. I think we can forget about that one, at least for now.
Yes. Yeah. He's going to be the quarterback here. I imagine he'll play better than, you know, the worst performance of his career statistically.
What did you make of what Vrabel had to say about Derrick Henry and what that could look like moving forward? We've heard from a lot of people today on the text line. Very concerned with his usage in the first game and what that could mean for him moving forward. Gentry did say in the last segment that the days of Henry carrying the ball 30, 35 times in a game probably gone, which I agree with. We're probably not going to see much of that moving forward. But, you know, is he going to have games this year where he carries the ball 25 times, 26 times, somewhere in that neighborhood? I don't know.
Well, I go back to what we talked about yesterday. He did have the, you know, the quote basically like, well, some game you throw it 40, some games you run it 40. You know, I still think that you got to be open-minded enough that on a particular day he's just dominating another team, keep going to it, you know? Like, you don't want to be like, we got to get this, and this play in, and so, yep, and this personnel group, so we're going to do that. You know, you react to the information in front of you. So I wouldn't rule out here and there. I mean, I agree for the most part. They're not totally built around them. They're doing different things. This is also an interesting thing from a fan perspective because I know not everybody was like, they must stop leaning on Derrick Henry. They must modernize their offense. A lot of people were, which I understand. If you were one of those people, so now what do you want him to go back to 25, 30 times Derrick? Like, what is it? You know, you want him to score and win. That's the thing.
That's
right?
The thing.
Whatever that looks like.
Let's start scoring some touchdowns. Right. That would be fun. Like, right. Let's get some touchdowns on the board. Yeah. Whatever it takes to do that.
Right. But as far as it's one of those like, well, that didn't work, so you should have done this. Right. Well, if you were screaming for an end to the archaic, you know, run-centric offense, you got it. You got it in the first game. But also, the best offense the Titans had was during that stretch when Derrick Henry was running all over the Saints. So I just feel like it's going to be week by week, which is what they said going in. But some weeks, I think you have to look at if it's working. I still would not rule out Derrick Henry from wearing a team down to a nub in the fourth quarter of a game. He is still built to do that.
Joe, I said this
just didn't work last year.
I said this last week leading into this game that I thought this game was really important for a number of reasons. I mean, there's the obvious of you want to get as many wins as you can get and start the season off on the right foot and all those things, and that goes without saying. But, I mean, the Titans technically now have lost 8 games in a row dating back to last year. They're on an 8-game losing streak, and we've heard from some people today asking about it. We heard from a lot of people yesterday asking about it, like, what does it mean for Vrabel? Like, at what point is Vrabel kind of held responsible for some of the stuff that we're seeing out there? It is an 8-game losing streak, and they have shifted the roster pretty dramatically from last year to this year. So it's a different team, and Tannehill at the moment is healthy, and they went on a losing streak last year. He was a part of it for some. Dobbs was a part of it for others. Malik Willis was part of it for other games. So it's been a wild difference in terms of who's been available and who's not throughout this thing. But the fact of the matter is they've lost 8 games in a row dating back to last year. They need a win on Sunday at home against the Chargers. If this thing starts getting to 9, 10, 11 games in a row, there'll be a lot of noise around this team and specifically Vrabel as they move forward here from Titans fans.
Right. And you go from here to Cleveland, which looked very good.
They did.
You know, don't want to overreact good too much, good or bad, but I thought going into the year, Cleveland had one of the most talented rosters in the NFL. And they looked really good. So then you come home for Cincinnati, which looked bad against Cleveland, but we know what Cincinnati has, what Cincinnati is and will be, I think. I mean, I still think Cincinnati ultimately is going to be a better team than
they're gonna
Cleveland.
Be very good.
So you don't have – I mean, you don't have a team on your schedule that you – you know, that you absolutely are better than on paper until you go to Indy in week five.
The Titans are going to be underdogs in the next three games.
Right. And that's still, even at Indy, I liked what Anthony Richardson did in his first game. I thought there was a lot of promise. There was more good than bad from him in his first game, very first game as a rookie.
Agreed.
So that's not that's not a layup. And then you go to London and you get Lamar Jackson. So I look at this week as absolutely critical. We've seen many times in Vrabel's tenure some game that looks really tough, like circumstances, opponent, yep, all of it, and they come out and just they go to L.A. after Derrick Henry's knocked out for the season and they just punch the Rams in the mouth. So I wouldn't rule out any of those games, but I would say, to your point, it would be very – beneficial for them to stop the noise this week.
Well, this is an interesting matchup from that standpoint, like desperation wise. And I know it's a 17 game NFL season, so there's a desperation level that comes with every game. But like the Chargers, they lose in this big shootout in week one where they just get outgunned by Tua in that Miami offense. Brandon Staley, like if I had to start listing off coaches on the hot seat heading into this year, you wouldn't have to go down very far before you get to Brandon Staley. He might be number one based on the roster that he has and the quarterback that he has. I mean, if they don't win and win at a high level this year, he's going to get fired. And I'm not comparing Vrabel to that, because I think Vrabel is on much more solid footing than Brandon Staley is. And quite frankly, I think he's displayed way more than Brandon Staley has in the league so far. I'm just saying, eight losses in a row technically for the Titans dating back to last year, and a Chargers team with all the expectations in the world like they have the last 3 years, and they've already lost week one. That is a huge game for these two teams on Sunday. Huge game.
Huge. Titans scoring total since they had 27 in their last win at Green Bay. 16, 10, 22 against Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. 14, 14, 13, 16, 15.
It's atrocious.
It's just, it's in the NFL, you have no chance when you're producing like that. So that is what it is this week. You gotta convert in the red zone. You gotta score touchdowns. You gotta score points. You gotta get in the 20s. It's the fact that they've been in the 20s 2023.
One time in that 8-game stretch, and I get it. We've gone through the circumstances, but one time in an 8-game stretch is just abysmal. It's amazing, and it's not surprising that why they lost eight games in a row. Exactly. It's what it is. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We'll get to those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caleb and Gallatin on the text line says there were many opportunities for the offense to score on Sunday. If they could have just executed, I think we have the chance to put up at least 21 points a game if they can clean up a few things. That still not may be enough for some games, but that's where they'll have to rely on good defense. It's from Caleb and Gallatin. Based on the numbers you just rolled off, getting to 21 would be a good start for the Titans offense.
That would be quite a waterfall of points. Well, look, again, as we've been talking about since those plays happened, it's not really easy in the NFL to get a guy running alone on one side of the field where you know if the ball lands in his hands, he's just going to score. I mean, that happened three times to me, but certainly two. And the other time it wasn't thrown to that guy, but the other two, they were just missed. I mean, those are, like, from a coaching perspective, like, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's
draw it up.
And it worked. And it's just, like, I think in just about any time in Tannehill's career, if he's presented with stuff like, I mean, in a lot of games, he'd hit all of them. But, like, the idea that he would miss all of them is just very un-Tannehill.
And the not seeing some of it is concerning. Like, we've talked about this a little bit before with Tannehill in terms of maybe him not seeing everything, like the Cincinnati game, right? Like seeing the wrong looks out there or just not recognizing what he's looking at out there. I mean, I don't know what the play design was for Okonkwo. And maybe you're right. Like, he was so far over there to the left on the deep shot to Moore, and they were so close together that maybe Okonkwo wasn't running in the right spot. I have no idea. But he was wide open, and it just looks like Tannehill just either didn't see him or made an extremely poor decision to throw that ball. One, two.
I mean, again, this is one of those. There's so many. I feel like there's been a lot today of like, I mean, God, turn your head around.
Yeah,
and, you know, come on, make the right read out there. It's easy. But even if he is in the wrong spot, if you're Tannehill,
hit him.
Right, he's
right wide
there.
Open.
He's totally alone. I mean, but again, that one is. That's a decision, and if you were resolved to go to Moore, you know, okay, that's one thing. That happens. Just missing the layups doesn't use it with him.
I got a Jim on the text line says, have we considered a return to exotic Smash Mouth? That's from Jim.
Yeah.
On the text line. Maybe so. Maybe bring it back.
Look, I mean, the Titans have, you know, have been a certain kind of team, even going back to then. With running the football, and it is different. I mean, they still were going to run it. They had some success running it. I think that their offensive line still, to me, looks just like they got some real potential as a running the football offensive line, you know, whereas they got real problems at times protecting the passer, you know. So, I mean, I think sometimes you do have to, you know, you adjust your personnel and do what you do well. So I would keep an open mind on the idea that they would be a little bit more run-based moving forward. It's just, you know, like Tannehill has been a very good play-action quarterback, and I'd like to see more of that too. And I think some of the, you know, obviously some of the cleaner pockets he had Sunday were play-action. And that's just, those two things have to go hand in hand. I mean, there's a lot of things to figure out and work out, but – Smash mouth football with Derrick Henry, I mean, it still has to be, to me, a big part of what they do.
Well, the thing I'll say is I still think we're too early. Like, there's a lot of people drawing connections from the 7-game losing streak to end the year, Todd Downing and the system that they ran offensively through that, and then now. We are 1 game into Tim Kelly's play-calling career here with the Titans as offensive coordinator, and we're 1 game into this new offense that they're running. And like the texter pointed out, I mean, if your quarterback hits 2 shots, that's 2 touchdowns right there down the field. So it's not like
he just threw for, you know, 300 and some yards and
right.
You know, the rating goes up 40 points. Well, yeah, whatever.
Everything looks better. And you won the game, most importantly. Right. And that's you're feeling good today. You're feeling encouraged about the offense. You're encouraged by the way Derrick Henry ran in the first half. You're encouraged by some of the big plays that they hit in the second half in the passing game. And it's a completely different discussion. The difference is your quarterback missed the shots. And when that happens, I mean, it makes all the difference in the world in the conversation that's around it. So I bring all that up to say I think we're way too early to draw too many conclusions of the new offense, Tim Kelly as an offensive coordinator, and the connection in the 8-game losing streak now from last year's offense to this year's offense. I think it's way too early to connect those two things.
It is. But there's an 8-game losing streak. The offense has been unproductive, not scoring touchdowns, not scoring points. So I totally understand frustration from people, too, who follow this team closely.
Well, and the constant in that is Vrabel, right?
Like, yeah.
He's in charge.
So Ben from Nashville says, hi, guys. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
I think Vrabel needs to be held more accountable for his in-game decision-making. Not going for it on fourth down was a mistake. Declining the holding penalty made no sense to knock them out of field goal range. With a team that will be in close battles, there's no room for that kind of error. So, I think in the moment, there was some disagreement in the press box on the field goal one.
Yeah.
I get it. He made the field goal. You're saying rookie,
52-yarder, right?
Rookie, make a 52-yarder. And I do understand that if you take it now, you could knock them out. The pass rush is rolling. You know, but you also, I mean, you know, you give Derek Carr a chance to hit you with something, and he hit him with some things, although he hadn't really done much at that point. So, I think both of them are a good debate. I don't think either decision in either case is a clearly bad decision. In the moment, I was like, yeah, go for it, that 4th and 6 and the 11. But honestly, when I thought about it more, it's like.
See, I was the opposite.
The information added up to you should trust your defense and kicker more than you should trust your offense.
I had no problem with them not going for it on 4th down. Given the situation, number one, they had all 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning at their disposal. I had no confidence in Tannehill at them. I mean, he just missed all those throws. He, a few plays before that, had almost thrown another pick to Lattimore. Like, if you're on the sideline, it was 4th and 6. Like, how much confidence did you have to pick up 6 yards there? I wouldn't have had a ton of confidence. So I had way less of a problem with the kicking the field goal, trusting your defense to make a stop, and then trying to go for it after that than I did. I did think the decision to get it's a 52-yard field goal and he's a rookie, but it's a 52-yard field goal in the NFL. I would have liked to have seen them Except that one. Back.
Yeah. I would question that one more because I'm with you. And look, 4th and 6, also you're at the 11, so the space is tight in that field. Titans receivers did not get a lot of separation at all day long. They were not – it's not like Tannehill was missing. Again, those touchdown shots are schemed open special plays that got those guys open. Those are great plays. You got to hit them. But as far as in the – kind of play-to-play operation of the offense, there was very little space. The windows were very tight. Now, Tannehill can't throw into some of those, especially as late as he did.
But
point being, 4th and 6, also from the 11 with a tighter field to try to work it. I mean, based on everything that had happened to that point, and, you know, another thing on that play, for example, and some of the other situations, this is where Kyle Phillips could be important to this team.
Yeah, for sure.
This is where Kyle Phillips is a guy who I think when he comes back, it's like, okay, guard him or do something extra or else he's going to get us 6 yards. They don't have that right now.
But how big a hole are the Titans going to be in when he comes back? I mean, that's the thing. Like right now you're looking at the schedule. Like I said, they're going to be underdogs in these next 3 games. Now, that doesn't mean anything. Like you can still go out and win. I mean, Chargers are a 3-point favorite coming up on Sunday. So it's not like that's the end-all, be-all. But I'm just saying, these are 3 good teams that they're getting ready to play. What kind of a hole are the Titans going to be in when he comes back? The other part of that, we talk about using Henry more. They got to find a way, and I don't know if this was still injury-related, if it's the way the game unfolded, or what happened. Like Treylon Burks has to be way more involved in this offense than he was. He had 3 targets on Sunday, 2 catches, 18 yards. Had a horrible drop in there, and they gave him an end around. So he touched the ball 4 times in the game. That can't happen moving forward. If this offense is going to be an offense that gets back into the low to mid-20s in terms of points that they're averaging per game, he has to be a big part of that.
Yeah.
And he was a non-factor on Sunday.
No, I agree. And I would expect them to intentionally try to get him involved earlier in this next game. So are you saying that the Titans are going to trade Tannehill and Kyle Phillips with the Jets? Is that what you do?
I think so.
Okay. That makes sense.
And Hopkins.
I saw Orlovsky yesterday after the Patriots game on like ESPN. He's like, man, Patriots should have signed Hopkins. What if the Patriots had Hopkins right now?
I know. I took one glance up at the TV. We got the, you know, Get Up is on ESPN in our studio. I took one glance up to the TV, and they were talking about Rodgers' injury, and it was just flashing pictures of Tom Brady from his celebration on Sunday. And I was like, all right, I can't handle this today. I'm gonna look away at this point.
Oh, man.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Mark, hang with us. We'll get to you coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Titans home opener this weekend, and we want you to tailgate with us downtown before kickoff. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern, located across from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza, this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans Week 2 matchup against the Chargers and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning. How we doing?
Yeah, how you doing, Robert? Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Got you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, how you doing, Joe?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, I ain't going to leave you out, man. Don't worry about it. Hey, Joe, Robbie, I'm going to ask you, Sunday is a big game for the Titans. You got the Chargers coming to town. Would you say this is a must win? I mean, with this 0-7, 0-8 start, you know, with Vrabel.
Must win in week two is a tough. That's a, you know, I struggle with that term in week two, but it's important. It's huge, no doubt. I mean, it's huge for both teams, but it's huge for the Titans given what's ahead of them. I mean, I guess it's almost like if they lose a game like 30-27, that's still tough, and you're 0-2, and all those. But at least like
you scored some touchdowns.
Like if you lose a game and you're sub 20 points again, at some point it really, really gets tiresome for the fan base,
especially against a team that just gave up 38 points and 460 yards passing to the opposing quarterback last week. They got to find a way to punch the ball in the end zone this week a few times.
Yeah,
so I'm not going must win. We just saw them go 0-2 last year and then turn around and they were 7-3, but it's a big one on Sunday. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Robbie, let me ask you this: would you have to say that the defense is going to be really the main factor that carries the Titans this year? Because their offense, I know they're doing a new offense and stuff, but Tannehill does look like he's lost still. While the time may have caught up with him a little bit, Robbie. I mean, his arm strength didn't really look great Sunday, and I thought he was looking for Hopkins a little too much in that game against the Saints.
Well, he targeted Hopkins 13 times. I mean, there's no – look, we talk about the offense, Joe, and it's got to get better. They got to get into the 20s. But if this team's going to be good, it's because of the defense. We didn't learn that Sunday. I think we knew that heading into the year. But the pass rush being what it is, the pass rush to me is even more important than it was to start the year because they're already dealing with injuries in the secondary. But if they're going to make the playoffs, if they're going to compete for the division, it has to be because of the defense, I think.
Yeah. No, they have to be down. They have to be top five defense, or I don't think this team's in the postseason.
Yeah, which is tough to do. Mark, thanks for the call, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right, y'all have a good day, man.
You as well. So, I mean, it is, I guess, until you laid it out earlier in the show of just what the 8-game losing streak has looked like from an offensive standpoint, it is kind of wild to think about that they've gotten over 20 points one time during that stretch. And even that time was 22. So it's not like, you know, you're 28, 29, knocking on the door 30. You got to 22. The Chargers defense got a lot of talent. They got a lot of ability. So this is not going to be some easy thing for the Titans. What if you watch the Chargers-Dolphins game in week one, Tua was great, looked great in that game. But Tyreek Hill was the story of why they were as good as they were. I mean, nobody could stop him. So the Titans don't have that, obviously. They don't have anybody that approaches
Tyreek Hill.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is going to be – it's easy to look at the matchup and say, well, the Chargers defense just gave up 38 points. They gave up 460 yards through the air to Tua. This should be an opportunity for the Titans. And I get the thought process. It's just a way different matchup because nobody else has Tyreek Hill, and the Titans cannot play that way that the Dolphins played on Sunday.
Yeah, there isn't much from that game that really applies. It's just – but, you know, I also do think that the Titans can run the ball on the Chargers. So, you know, it's just you just have to execute. You don't have – and this is – you know, I've seen some of this, and I think there's some truth to it. Like the lack of that guy – not Tyreek Hill. There's no Tyreek Hill. But the lack of a guy like that for the Titans I still think is also something that's got to be addressed in the future, you know, a true speed receiver. I mean, I think that you can go downfield. I think you can go vertical – to Hopkins, I think you can go vertical to Burks, but they don't have that guy that strikes fear in a defense to where, like, the safety, you better not misstep or, you know he's past the corner. I mean, that's something that this offense needs. Again, it's not going to be Tyreek Hill. People keep trying to find the next Tyreek Hill. Although I must say, Tutu Atwell, some people were talking about him as kind of that kind of guy. He's really little. Boy,
he's
he is
very small.
Fast, though.
He is fast.
Tutu Atwell, who took it to the Seahawks, who were going to take it to the Lions this week. There you go. I found a way to rip the Lions today.
Lions are going to be – that place is going to be rowdy.
Oh, it'll be Sunday. So excited. Oh, I feel so sorry for them.
Place is rowdy. What's the line on that game? Let's see here. The line on the Chargers-Lions game on Sunday?
No, Seahawks.
Seahawks-Lions game. Lions favored by 5.5. Big favorites heading into the game.
I can give you a preview of Pigskin Pick'em right now if you want me to.
The Burks thing is really what I'm looking for Sunday in the passing game. Was Sunday an outlier? Is he not completely healthy yet? Why was he not involved in the offense? I mean, that's basically – like, if you would have told me heading into the game that he would have had 2 catches on 3 targets, I said, what, in the first quarter? Like, in the first half? Like, what are we talking about here? They've got to find a way to get him more involved. And, you know, I don't know exactly what his numbers are going to look like this year, but we've talked about him all offseason long into the preseason. It was a very disappointing debut from Treylon Burks. I'm hoping that he's getting a little healthier. Some of the explosion is coming back, and they find a way to get him the ball. Because if he's not heavily involved in the offense, they just don't have much of a chance to move the ball down the field and score points in the passing game. He's got to be a big factor. They don't have a choice.
Yeah. Now, it was disappointing to not see him involved, I mean, at all in the first half. And I know, yeah, that you could look at an OC. I know, like, Arthur Smith got mad this week. Like, people talking about targets, like, it's such an under – look, I mean, there are plays where Tannehill could have targeted him. I will say, and I don't know if it's injury-related or not, but when he was out there a fair amount. He was running routes. He was not getting separation. I mean, he just was not open much in this game. So I do think that some – I think they were intentional with that little end around, and yep. I think they need to do that early in this game, a screen, something, get him going.
There's still time for the Treylon Burks. I'll tell you in a minute. Okay. There's still time for the Treylon Burks pass across the field lateral in the middle of the game like they did in Jacksonville. Just throw it across the middle of the field.
Actually, save that for the Jags. They'll never expect you to try that again.
They won't. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.